It's another episode of the Bridgehouse Theatre podcast, yet again. Are you sick of us yet?
We are churning them out. We're like a little production line of podcasts.
It's like a miniature audio factory creating waveforms and theatre.
That's what we do. Waveforms and theatre.
There's actually there's a concept there, isn't there? There's a concept, there's an idea for an unconventional, very, very Edinburgh fringe. Probably, it would probably take place in like a Portaloo, wouldn't it? For
what kind of waves are you making in that Portaloo?
Exactly.
Very weird waveforms.
Today, I don't know what we're doing. We're all very tired. Today, we are talking to Lucy Harris. Lucy Harris, who is with us to chat about her play Just Relax, which is the first ridiculous commercial success of the Bridgehouse Theatre by the looks of things. The time of recording is already sold out. So
we shall preface this interview by saying you can't buy any tickets for this show, but
you can learn about the show. Yeah, you could either come to the matinee or you could cry over the full capacity and wish that you could come to it, but you can't. You can listen to us instead. So welcome, Lucy.
Thank you. Hiya.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. It's crazy keeping track of the tickets, and it's amazing and it's really exciting, but it's a little bit terrifying.
Oh yeah,
well, we did a little post sort of updating people, being like, so sold out, two tickets left, blah blah blah, and then I immediately had to write a comment on the post about half an hour later, going, okay, this is out of date now, sorry.
You must be a very popular person to have all of these people wanting to see your show.
Do you know what? I didn't think I was. So I think maybe the cast are really popular.
Yeah. Maybe it's just the people of Penge love anxiety.
Listen, we've all got it, right?
We can all relate to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk to us about anxiety, or about Just Relax, or about both, or about.
I mean, how long have you got? I'll talk about the show first. That might be quicker. So this show came about nearly four years ago. As it's kind of said in the flies, it was when I was having counselling myself for my own struggles, anxiety, you know, and everything in between. And it was actually kind of a coping mechanism that was suggested to me to make some notes, document what's going on, you know, what's your triggers, when, you know, find out when it's happening. And so I kind of did that a little bit, but what I noticed was when I was writing it, some of it was really quite funny. And reading it back, I was like, this is ridiculous that this is my life. This is what goes on in my head. I thought, that's right, play. Let's do something with it. That was literally my thought. And I was sat in Costa as I was thinking that. And so that's kind of how it started. And I kind of picked it up, put it down for a really long time. But I think the main reason why I did it was because lots of people are like, well, what's wrong with you? What's the matter? What's going on in your head? And I'm like,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, what is wrong with you? Just relax.
What's your
honestly.
Problem?
Just relax. There we go.
Honestly, that is the bane of my life now.
She said it.
And everyone's like, just relax. So, it's really hard, I think, to explain to somebody what anxiety is, what it is for you, what you're worried about, because a lot of anxiety is irrational. So it's really difficult to kind of explain to somebody. And also it's really exhausting having to explain it to people all the time. So I thought maybe I could create something that maybe relatable to some people, but also maybe a bit informative or interesting to people who have no idea about anxiety. So that's kind of like the main gist of it, and kind of just sharing real people's experiences of anxiety, really. It's a really long-winded answer, sorry.
Cool.
It's not long-winded at all. It's interesting, and it's you know, it's raising vital points. I find it fascinating that sort of aspect of people saying just relax. You know, I don't suffer so much from anxiety myself, but I, you know, have suffered from bouts of depression, and you get, oh, well, just cheer up. What have you got to be sad about? I'm like, It's not a logical thing. It's a brain. And so what attracted me to this piece was the way that theatrically you're exploring that kind of lack of logic in a way.
Yeah, that's it. And how often, like, not how often, how common is that, if that's the right word, that some of the things are that, you know, people who don't experience anxiety will still be able to recognize some of those things that we have, that we experience, just, you know, really simple things like leaving the house. Oh, did I lock the door? You know, to some people, that's just a normal thought, but it's kind of where you go with that thought, you know, sometimes.
Of course, it's interesting. The best analogy I ever heard regarding it, it was more applicable to depression, but I think it suits anxiety and mental health in general, is discerning whether it's a normal thought or whether it's a more chronic problem is like the difference between the climate and the weather. In Britain, we are generally quite a grey country, but we have moments of really lovely, you know, really lovely blue skies and clear skies, and moments of really like torrential sleet and snow, and, you know, but generally a kind of grey mur. California is generally, the climate is much warmer, and but will, you know, everyone has these moments of weather. But what is your climate? What is your baseline? And where do you go from there? And I think that's the best analogy I ever heard, is the difference between the climate and the weather.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, and I think that's what's really that's come up loads since kind of developing this piece, is that the more you talk to people, everyone has very, you know, it's those baseline concerns, baseline worries, but it is kind of how far you go with it and what that might mean to you and what your outlook on it is. But it's crazy how many people really get it and really relate to it. And, you know, and it's quite sad and quite emotional when you talk to lots of people and they're like, I like every day getting out of bed is really, really difficult. But though sometimes you would never know that about people, and for lots of reasons. And I think it's just, hopefully this show might give people a bit more of an insight into what people go through on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And theatre is such a great sort of forum for that, to raise these issues and for people to say, oh, wow, that's something I go through. That's very, you know, applicable to me. I didn't think this, I didn't think that, or I didn't know that other people were the same as me. And it is a fantastic forum for that. And that's why I think it's so important that work like this is getting made. Yeah. Have your cast been sort of connected with this for quite a while? Have you developed it with them, or how have they been involved?
So the cast kind of changed just after, well, in the middle of COVID. So we just, I think it was the February, actually, before COVID, we'd started rehearsals with the cast. And we'd kind of got into the process, and then COVID hit, and then obviously everything from there went on. But we recasted it at the beginning of this year, and we've had loads and loads of conversations about it. I feel very fortunate with the cast that I've got, because I totally know, for lots of different reasons, that they're doing this show because they really care about it in loads of different ways. And some of them, you know, firsthand completely connect with it. Some had no idea. And even, you know, one of the cast members said to me kind of a month or two ago, it was like, does this actually go on in your life every single day? And I was like, yeah. He was like, I don't understand how that happens. It's amazing and it's really interesting. So like, they're still kind of figuring stuff out when they had no kind of clue beforehand. But they've totally bought into it, which is amazing. And we've done loads of collaboration work together, which has been really nice. So they've been a bit of a dream. I've been very, very fortunate.
Great. And it sort of says as well that you're using words of people that suffer. So you've spoken to other people and got their experiences of anxiety as well. How did you go about doing that?
So I spoke to lots of kind of friends and family that I knew kind of, well, just I knew, understood it or had their own kind of experiences of it. And really, I just kind of reached out to people. I reached out about a couple of years ago on social media and I said, if anybody, you know, experiences and is happy to talk to me about it, get in touch with me. And a few people did. So I've kind of collated loads of kind of conversations that I've had with people, either through sound bites or conversations. But most people I've spoken to have been really, really happy and willing to share their stories, share their experiences for the show. Obviously, I don't share their names or anything like that, but it's amazing that an hour show has come from lots of people's stories. Mm. And mine predominantly through some of the kind of the through line is based upon my own experiences. But lots of people, their reaction was like, yeah, I'd love to help. I'd love to be part of it in some way. So
amazing. And it's great that people are willing to talk. I think that's part of the thing with mental health in general. Getting people to talk about it is so important, and it's can be so helpful for them, like just to get it out there and to talk about it. You know, I'm terrible at that. I'm terrible at talking about my mental health. And then when I do, when somebody gets me to open up, I'm like, why don't I do this more?
But that's it. And I think what has been a real challenge for me for this process is that finding that balance between I want it to be entertaining, I want it to be, you know, enjoyable, and people to engage with it in their own way, and informative, but I don't want it to be kind of an advert and I'm not trying to be a really good Samaritan or this is how you should, you know, this is what you should do, this is how you should get help. And because I don't, if I knew all those answers, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in now myself. But it's literally just an hour to show people and to share with people things that they would really relate to probably and understand or don't understand, and the beauty of talking. And I think we all say we must talk, but it's true. It's not just it's not a phase. It's not a buzzword. It's like talking is really helpful.
Like, I think that's the biggest thing as well, isn't it? And I think for a lot of people, they struggle with the thing of kind of going, okay, you're telling me to talk, you're telling everyone to talk, but what then? Do you know what I mean? I think that's an interesting thing, is that the thing kind of go, cool, like I've talked and I still feel shit. Why is it? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's that thing kind of going, I don't understand, you know. And I think presenting something in a different way, rather than just saying, talk to me about it, going like, cool, this is what I'm feeling. This is another way of looking at it, in a more artistic and a more entertaining way as well. Looking at it, not going, oh, just tell me about your feelings. It's entertaining people. There's comedy in there. You know, it's looking at it in a way that hopefully a lot of people will just come away from going, actually, you know what? That was really fun and it was really interesting, and there's stuff that I resonate with there, and that will help people cement what they, do you know what I mean? Rather than just kind of going, people going, talk about it, go, okay, I am depressed. What do you want me to say? You know what I mean?
I think it's that kind of, common understanding between other people. And I think when you hear other people sharing things and talking about it, because you do think, well, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to talk about? Mm. I don't, because that's hard. Talking about it is hard.
So I shall show you. You'll dance.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Through the medium of dance.
Yeah. That's well, dance exploration of anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all sorts, isn't there? What sort of things can we expect from it, from a artistic, from a creative, as an audience member? What sort of things can you expect?
What can you expect? So then lots of talking, lots of ensemble dialogue. So the show is kind of, I've made a creative decision to use sound bites, and the sound bites are really, really important because they are people's voices talking about their own experience of anxiety. So that's kind of spliced in between the show. So the sound bites are there. It's a creative tool, but for me, it's like that's as important as the dialogue. So hearing different people's voices, and also that gives the audience a moment to kind of digest what's just happened and have a moment where they don't have to react to something. The show, we've tried to kind of create that kind of light and shade where it's split between quite hard-hitting monologues and speeches to some kind of manic, fast-paced ensemble dialogue, kind of to-ing and fro-ing, lots of back and forth dialogue. So the light, we're trying to kind of create that, you know, 1 minute we're up here with, you know, craziness and excitement and comedy, and then we kind of bring it quite down, and it can explores quite dark feelings and thoughts, but I'm trying to allow the audience to have those times to digest it, listen to it, have a breath, have a moment, and then maybe move on to something slightly lighthearted. But yeah, it's all dialogue and sound bites, if that has answered your question at all.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very cool. It sounds, I'm really excited to see it. I think that covers kind of everything that to talk about. So I think, unless there's anything else that you want to add, Lucy, to tell the listeners about things that they might be interested in.
I mean, there's 17 tickets left for the matinee. So,
as we get on it.
Best way to find out more is to come see it firsthand. Find it really hard to like talk about it, and people ask me to talk about the show loads and what's the style, what's it like, and I find it really hard to kind of explain it, and that sounds a bit ridiculous, but I think because I've been so immersed in why I've written it, and it's like I've almost put all my energy into the text that I actually don't know how to articulate it anymore. It sounds really silly, but for me, I'm like, come and see it, and it will make loads of sense. And people who know me, they'll be like, oh, I get it. I get why you're like that now. Okay.
So if you want to see Just Relax, then it's running Thursday the 14th to Saturday the 16th with a Saturday matinee as well. Thursday night, 7:30, sold out. Friday night, 7:30, sold out. Saturday night, 7:30, sold out. Saturday afternoon, 2:30. 17 tickets left at the time of this recording. So probably be sold out by the time you're actually listening to it. You can get your tickets at www.thebridgehousetheatre.co.uk. You can follow us on all the socials. We're at Penge Theatre, and subscribe to the podcast and tell people and all that sort of thing, so people will actually listen to our nonsense. And hopefully we'll see you there. Do come and grab myself or Luke after the show, and tell us what you thought, and tell Lucy what you thought, as long as it's nice. Don't be mean to any companies.
No need for nastiness.
But I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we hope you enjoy the Just Relax. So it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
There we go. What a pro.
It's like I'm like Jeremy Paxman. Have a good one, and we'll hopefully have you on another episode very soon. Bye-bye.